It's the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in tech. I've got gin and tonic. It's 8 p.m. at night, and we've got a fantastic panel. Joining me from Hawaii, second appearance it's the Doc. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. Drinking what they call an 8-year-old Chinese pu-air.
You're drinking Chinese poo?
No, pu-air, damn it.
It's okay. That's good. Phew, lucky one. I hope it tastes good. How you been, mate? Because I got you up dead early this morning. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's good. After the show, I had a bagel and went to sleep. Woke back up and do it again. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, no. I'm sure bagels, when you sleep on them straight away, don't do any harm.
No. I'm already that, I'm in shape. Round is a shape, so I'm square.
You and me both, brother. Next to him, Dr. Sexy returns, the only real doctor on the shows ever.
Hello?
We call loads of people doctor, but we've had Bob Levitis on, who's Doc Mac, and you're the only real doctor we ever have. One with a certificate. Mr. Harkness?
It's good to see everyone. Hear everyone again.
And how's the human version 2 blog going?
It's going. I still write on it. Still going. Just keep chipping away at it. One day it'll be an enormous thing, I'm sure.
I think they might need to do a bit more chipping, but yes. Well
done, mate. Oh, if anyone's got any dynamite to get it started.
Yeah. Next to him, Kelly.
Yes.
How are you doing, darling?
Not too bad. Since we're here, I'm going to go ahead and say happy birthday to my dad today.
Hey! So
happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday. It's not Gamont, I guess, is it? It's Mr.
No, just call him Dennis.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Hey.
That's a reliable name, isn't it?
It is.
Like a fire engine.
That's a good work there, Dennis, on that lovely girl.
Like a fire engine. That was on Top Gear this week. Dennis fire engines. Perfect. Do you know what? Did you see on Top Gear what they call American firefighting machines?
No.
The model of it is...
Fire trucks.
No, it's called... The model of the American fire truck is called the Igniter. What? They said it on Top Gear this week. I was blown away. Why call a fire truck that's supposed to put fire out? It should be called the Douser or something like that.
Not the Extinguisher.
The Extinguisher, not the Igniter.
Oh.
That is an odd choice.
Dude, that is... actually true.
Yeah.
I just googled it. True. Here, I got the website.
The Igniter. There you go. So it's backdraft all over again. And last but by no means least, Righty Boy!
Hello, mate! I've been worried about you. What's going on?
I'm all right, mate. Sorry I missed the meeting on Tuesday, but I'll take you through it after the show.
We were going to meet up, have a chat and all that.
I know. I just a jerk, mate. I'm so sorry.
No. I do worry,
No, I felt like crap.
Big fella like you, people think he doesn't need looking after, but I sit here and I worry.
Yeah. Muller's pointing out that I didn't qualify the fact that our firefighting machines are called Dennis. That's why I said, sounds reliable like a fire. There we go. I'm all right, mate. I'm fine. You've been all right? You had 4 days off, haven't you?
Yes, I know. I'm back tomorrow. But no, it's been lovely. Me and the daughter been playing Minecraft and SimCity and Titanfall and my daughter's the right age where you can just like play proper computer games now. It's absolutely bloody awesome.
Oh, right. So you've been sitting Xboxing all the time with her?
All the time. And she absolutely loves it. I love it. So she's the perfect age now. So you can't beat some half-term holidays. Absolutely amazing.
Is she kicking your ass?
Of course she is. Yeah, the same way that like when, I think we all kicked our dad's asses at computer games when we were young. It's like role reversal. She's kicking my ass now.
Yeah, no, Ellis. I mean, Ellis says, "Oh, can we play Far Cry 4?" And you're like, "Okay." And you get on, and he just—that's it. It's just point. Call of Duty, and you're like, "No."
I played Ellis at Advanced Warfare. He killed me.
Oh, he's mustard, mate. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I went on with a game with him and his mates, and it was just like pick on the big one. It's just, everyone was on me.
He's evil on that. He absolutely destroys everyone.
He is. He's a little git. Disowned.
Me and Steve never had no chance at all.
Nah, not a chance.
I only found out what a git was about 6 months ago, and I love that word.
Gastrointestinal tract. There you go. We've got some correspondence.
Ooh.
First correspondence is from Dave Harding, and he's written in, and he's correcting us, and I think this is not a correction more than an update. The 100 gig of OneDrive offer that Paul Wright mentioned on the last big show is now open to everyone.
It is, yes.
You no longer need to have a US proxy, so the workaround isn't required. 100 gig free storage for with Bing Rewards is available for every single person. So there you go. Thank you for writing in, Dave. That makes a huge difference. We had another request from the things to make in a drone. This is from Steve. And Steve suggests the Avatar quadcoptery thing that's already kind of a quadcopter thing. I don't know what they're called technically. Scorpion, is that it? The Avatar Scorpion.
Okay.
And the big battleshipy thing, that would work as well, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That flew all the daisy cutter things in.
Yes.
So, there you go. Thank you for that, Steve.
It's not as good as Millennium Falcon, though, is it?
No.
No.
Millennium Falcon still takes the biscuit. The TARDIS was pretty cool as well till it crashed. one from Ken Dodge as well. Hi, Ewan. Recent discussions involving both education and audio on separate shows for the Mac Show and the Big Show have been really compelling. The recent review saying you've got a great sense of community and a fun place to hang out is informed and exactly spot on. I hope Carrie wasn't being too much of an AH last week, but it was a good debate and discussion. On the same show, I'd like to point out that I felt that Wrighty was channeling Will Green, however, in his talk about the Samsung TV issue.
Hey!
Did he know you have to press a button down or it doesn't hear you?
Conspiracy.
No, did you know that you have to push a button down, otherwise it doesn't hear you?
Well, I'm not informed then, am I?
Well, we need to correct the story, mate, so there we go. Apparently, the Samsung thing, you have to hold the button down to talk like you do on the Amazon TV, so it's not listening to you all the time everywhere, so...
The Xbox One does, doesn't it?
Well, the Xbox One's built to, yeah, it's a different thing.
That's actually. always listening.
Now, if your TV's linked to your Xbox, maybe there's a different thing there, but yeah.
Ooh!
Your hard work is very much appreciated. Plenty of other people should take note and let their guests speak without interrupting them. You're skilled at guiding and supplementing the discussion, and it makes the show. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ken. Very kind. And the last one is from Rick Cobb, and this is a mustard one. I can't thank you enough for the hours of entertainment I've received from listening to BTN on Stitcher during my one-hour commute from to and from Atlanta. We've got many things in common. I'm an ex-professional commercial photographer, and my career shifted over to IT some time ago. I must come over for the bash if I possibly can, although I have spent a few days in London. The reason I had to write in was because on the last episode of The Big Show, when everyone was talking about Samsung and the unknown recording of private conversations, on my commute home, I was listening on my Nexus 5, which was connected to my car audio system. And someone brought up the subject of Google Voice Search. They said, okay, Google, sorry about that. And damned if my Nexus didn't go into voice recognition mode. Of course, Stitcher being a nice restart service, restarted the podcast a few seconds back. So it then said, okay, Google again.
Can we stop saying it so that we don't hassle him more and just start calling it something else, the phrase that pays or something?
Okay, Google.
No!
Stop saying okay, Google. Do you mean, Kelly?
Okay, Google. Don't say okay, Google during the whole podcast. Or Xbox off.
Seriously.
Xbox off. Don't ever say Xbox off.
I tried.
It's actually Xbox turn off.
Xbox turn off. Sorry, my mistake. Xbox turn off. Don't ever say Xbox turn off.
It's funny because I was listening to Tom the other day, and Tom said, hey, seriously, not meaning to say that. And I know he knows not to say it because it's happened before. And right away, my phone just killed the podcast and goes, I'm sorry, I do not understand that.
So I'm now stuck in an endless loop of blah bloop, waiting for a voice command, then blah bloop, back to the podcast, okay, Google, blah bloop, waiting for a voice command, over and over again. I had to pause Stitcher, fast forward to continue. What a pain in the ass, but absolutely hilarious. Then later in the podcast...
So what do you do for, what is the key word for Cortana? Because I don't know that one.
They don't have it. You have to have a positive button push, don't you?
Missy. No, I don't know.
There's no active. No, it has to be a button push. Anyway, then later in the podcast, someone said, something Google, and again, blah bloop, and I got back into the same endless loop. I must ask you all to, again, refrain from stating anything remotely sounding like OK Google. So no one's allowed to say OK Google. Are we clear? No OK Google.
OK Google.
Got it? OK Google is not on. You can't say OK Google.
What can't we say?
In any future podcast. You can't say OK Google. In any future podcast.
What if you take, a picture somewhere in the valley and you're trying to get a nice bouquet on Google?
No, you can't say OK Google.
It reminds me of, do you remember that episode of Blackadder when they kept talking about the Scottish play? We never told and we never speak of the Scottish play.
there we go. So there's, what's the ban list is now OK Google, Xbox off, Xbox turn off, and anything else that we can come across. If you've got a phrase that we've really pissed you off with, then do send it in so we can say it repeatedly. That was awesome. Thanks, Rick.
I am so, so sorry. And by the way, Ewan looks forward to your letters.
I just want to say thank you, Rick, for that email. Although, based on the number of times we've said OK Google, you're never going to hear it.
Okay. For the record, Rick, I tried. Oh, how I tried. And look where it got me.
Right then. What you should say is OK Doodle and see what happens. OK Doodle.
What about a bouquet doodle? Dentist,
okay, gargle.
Bouquet doodle. See what happens. Tell us right in next week, Rick, and say bouquet doodle and tell us what happened.
UK food. No, that doesn't work.
Bottom was put in the chat room, I may have just lost 90% of my audience.
Good girl.
Yeah, I put a link into the Scottish Play of Blackadder episode because that is funny.
Spot on. The Week in Tech, what have we got? Who's got a story for us? Who wants to start us off with the swing-a-ding?
Oh, swing-a-ding.
I got a swing-a-ding because Kelly brought it up. John Knoll and a team 25 years ago today introduced the software that allowed models to be so skinny that an Apple Watch barely fits on their wrists. Photoshop. You like how I segue in an old show? If you want to know what the hell we're talking about, you got to go back and listen to the Mac show this week. Take that.
Well, we got a caption competition in the Mac show.
That's called promotion right there. Anyway, 25 years ago today, Photoshop was invented. And so John Knoll and, you know, a couple of gang over in Adobe, they slapped together this thing. And I think I remember when it sort of went from like all this paint to Adobe Photoshop. I think I was barely becoming a Mac user at that time. And it's never stopped. And now we can thank all of the weird pictures and stuff you see on the internet. So it's one thing that it's this great graphics tool. It's another thing that is very creationary. You can do some creative things. But you couldn't spend 2 seconds on the net without finding a proper Photoshop picture. And then so I thought it was a very nice story to bring up today.
So 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Was the first one. It's got to be. I mean, I can't. It's one of those things that feels like it should be longer.
I know, right? Because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine life without it. But in a really cool follow-up story, on Mashable, they posted something. What did people do prior to Photoshop to Photoshop these photos? And, you know, you were talking about it earlier, too, on the Mac show about having to go to a lab and then getting things, you know, properly adjusted the lab way.
Well, it was an airbrush, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. Like, really, really, it is an amazing story because you go back and there's so much that is done with Photoshop every single day.
Mm. Have you seen? I can't remember. Have you seen those Chinese ones? The Chinese pictures can make me look better in Photoshop.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a bunch of YouTube.
Sorry, I'm typing live on a podcast. It's Chinese people, and they kind of go like, "I've got a picture of me, and make me look better." I can't find them though. It's like, make me look more sexy or make me look more dangerous. And they go out on these kind of Chinese forums and they come back and they absolutely destroy the original photos and insult the people so much. But that's the new thing now. Because did you see the one where it was, what's her name? In the Avengers, she fell down in the street. What's her name? The pretty one.
What?
Can you narrow it down?
Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson, that's it. Scarlett Johansson. She fell down in the street. And,
Does anyone remember how to speak English while we wait for Righty to get it back together then? Oh, for f***'s sake, you're supposed to be happy, guys.
I mean, that's the part where Kelly was supposed to say me.
That would have been...
I was jumping in, and then, yeah, and then you and you stopped were supposed, everybody jumping in, you so were I could jump in.
You were supposed to keep yourself up tempo there, people. I was going to come back in with the line, and it was going to be, like, seamless, like nothing had f***ing happened.
Then shut up and let me talk.
Oh, all right, Kelly.
For corn's sake. Okay. So related to that story, while we wait for Righty to recover, there's a video that was put together, I believe by Adobe, that shows a bunch of amazing things that people did with Photoshop. And it's really awesome. There's a link to it in the chat room. It's from, I have a link to it from the Mac Observer. And it's a really awesome video that shows like what's really possible by people who really, really know what you can do with it. There's a lot of programs, and I think Photoshop's a prime example of this, where a lot of people use maybe 10 or possibly like a power user will use 20% of the features. But this video is showcasing people who use like 80 and 90% of the features that are in Photoshop. And it's amazing to watch. It will totally blow your mind. So I've just pasted a link into the chat directly to the YouTube video.
Yeah.
But it's really amazing to see what people can do.
I think, the one thing that Photoshop used to be was a separation from Illustrator. So Illustrator was a lot more of a creative tool for layout and that kind of stuff. And Photoshop was very much about changing photos. And it's not, I would have said perhaps in the last... 15 years, Photoshop's become more of a creative tool than it ever used to be. Genuinely possibly creative. And that was because of tablets maybe as well, and change of tablets. But I don't know. I think people lose sight of the fact that Photoshop at all, whether it's for photos or whether it's for illustration, is a creative tool. Always has been.
No, it's for taking the piss out of people.
Why?
I'm going to put the link in the chat room now because I've found it.
All right, go on then.
And, ready? Okay. And then you tell me this is not what Photoshop's all about. There you go. It's in the chat room now. Scarlett Johansson fell down in the street the other week and Photoshop took over.
Oh, Lord.
What? So they put an arrow in her?
No.
Bongo drums.
Oh, it's just people. I like the DJ one.
The DJ set one is awful.
So the thing that's funny to me about Photoshop is that it has become, it's been Kleenexed for all intents and purposes. Whenever you see a photo that is obviously not the original version of that picture, everybody calls it Photoshopped or just chopped. And it's really funny to me that that's what happened. And there's a whole website dedicated to Photoshop contests called Worth1000.com. And most of what's there is not mean-spirited. It's just really funny stuff. And so, you know, it'll be like Photoshop modern technology into a classic painting, you know, things like that. And people do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. And the creativity that's evident there is just amazing. My favorite Photoshop contest lately has been somebody that snapped a photo of Robert Downey Jr. at the DMV getting his license picture taken. And the internet went wild with it. It was really, really funny. But I just love that, like, let's take an image and tweak it a little bit, immediately becomes something called Photoshop contest. And I think that that's really funny. So.
But I think the problem is with Photoshop that there's a lot of stuff going on, like the Scarlett Johansson thing there, and it's probably for a very good reason. It looks badly Photoshopped because of the fact that she'd probably sue the arse off anyone who made it look real, and perhaps so she should. But what I love about good Photoshop is the ability to make something look like it hasn't been touched.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key part. So you'll get some of the photo. There was a photojournalist got done the other week for making the flames in his image a little bit higher. And they had to go right back to some guy that was a real expert to find out whether he'd done it or not before they took the award off him that he got for the picture. And he literally made the flames in real time in the image. He'd made them only about a foot higher than they already were to add a little bit of extra impact to the image. And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, because actually, those were flames. They really were there. He's made them a little bit more fierce to add a touch more drama to the image. But, okay, it's been reported as news, so that's not accurate. But anything that goes through Photoshop, even if it's to correct contrast, colour, tint, any of those things is altering the original image as it was taken by the camera. So you can't then suddenly say, well, where does the line stop on that? And if he cropped it to cut out the firefighter that was stood there, because the flames on their own looked more dramatic without the firefighter being there, if he'd have cropped it, they wouldn't have taken the award off him. So, once it's been through Photoshop, it's changed. And if you're going to say you can't change it, you shouldn't change it at all. And I love the stuff that I do with, if I take a portrait, which isn't often anymore, but I will take a portrait of a 50-year-old woman, and I will touch it to the point that she looks like she's 30, but you won't look at it and go, it's overtouched. You won't look at it and go, oh, there's too much skin softening in that or anything like that. It's a natural photo. You'll still see the pores of her skin and that kind of stuff, but she looks 20 years younger because I've just taken away very selectively the lines and the crow's feet that I want to take and the blemishes that are age-based, the livery spots rather than the natural moles. And I look very carefully about what I should keep in, what I should take out to keep that natural element. Is that a bad thing? Well, she's happy as Larry that I did it, so.
I love Photoshop, and I think it's awesome what you could do with it, but I think the trouble is it's way too easy now for people to be deceived, especially like on the internet. But it's so powerful. If you've got somebody who's good at using it, he can just manipulate things so badly.
So at what point are you being deceived? That's my point. At which point, with the extension of those flames by a foot in a forest fire, how are you being deceived?
Well, maybe not that image particularly, but you can do all sorts of crazy things, can't you? I mean, you could manipulate an image any way you like and stick a knife in somebody's hand or, have somebody pointing a gun at somebody who wasn't pointing a gun or make it look like there's bigger crowds at a protest than there actually was, I mean, certainly I know the protest thing's been done before and in the opposite way. I mean, look at that one that was in the press recently where, I forget which publication it was, but it was some newspaper that got rid of all the female politicians who were on the Charlie Hebdo march. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was shot in a separate street.
Fantastic.
Do you remember that?
So again, that was a stage photo to replicate something which was real in inverted commas. The heads, the state.
Yeah, well, everyone was there, but as far as I understood, the newspaper removed the female members of the march.
Oh, right.
So, like, was it Angela Merkel? And people like, she was at the front of the march with other male politicians, and they just removed her. And there's not a trace, you can't tell that she was actually there.
Oh, right.
That's where I think it gets a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, but that's my point. Is not that that's right or wrong, but where do you draw the line? Where does it stop being okay and start becoming wrong?
I think when you use it to deceive intentionally.
I think Rich is right. He's right on the Paris march. That is, I'm looking at it now. It's absolutely true. So that is deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is deceiving people. Yeah.
Between the real photo and the Photoshop one, and they have removed the female politicians, so that is deception.
Well, but my point would be that changing anything is deception.
Yeah, I can see altering images and movies and things to make them look more artistic or make the light look nicer or whatever has value. That's fine, but when you start making people look completely different from what they do in real life and giving them bigger muscles than they've actually got. And I mean, in a society where people are so concerned about their body image and things like that, I just think it's unhealthy the way that the media manipulates people who are on the front of magazines and stuff like that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You're not finding me being the protagonist because I disagree with you, Richard, but the point is that's not Photoshop's fault, because I was doing that 25 years ago.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying I don't like it. No. And I'm sure a lot of other people don't like it either.
No.
So why does every picture from the Bachelor of Me look so bloody awful? Ian Lewis,
You spent most of it on your flat on your back, boy.
I know. Yeah, you all beat me up, though, didn't you? That didn't go down well.
Hey, well, you know, I think for the case that you're speaking on specifically, it's probably not that big a deal, with the exception of if you're reporting a story and you're like, there's a forest fire, and then you report a story of a forest fire that's a whole foot higher, maybe it doesn't matter because it's in the forest. But if you did that like in an urban center, you're making the fire look bigger than it really is. Maybe in the forest, it's not that big a deal because the effect doesn't really change much more. But it's saying, if you've done this to this photo, what other photos have we seen that of, you know, supposedly legitimate instances have been changed? And it's kind of the same thought we're all having with Brian Williams right now. You know, again, he's one of my favorite TV guys, and he said he lied about that and that only. And they were like, sure, you're right. You know, what else did you make up? You know, was Tim Cook really sitting there at the Apple Store when you filmed that? Or did you guys, you know, lie about that too? I mean, I guess that's what it is. It's just the trust has been broken.
Yeah, but I think I want to say in Photoshop's defense, it wasn't Photoshop that did it.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Photoshop. None of that was your fault, mate. It's people that did it. And people were doing it before you were invented. I was doing it more than 25 years ago because you were too expensive.
Yeah.
And so was a computer you had to run on. Well done. Good story, Doc. Thank you very much, mate.
There's us.
Who's next?
Go on, mate. I've got
one.
Oh, go on then, Rich. We'll come to you, Doc.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So this is that caught my eye today, and a good example of why cord cutting is increasingly becoming a sensible idea if you're not already looking at doing it. This comes from, I think it was originally in the Wall Street Journal, but I'm reading it from CBS. Cable networks are speeding up TV shows to cram in more ads. So what's been found is, I think it was a guy who was originally watching The Wizard of Oz and thought, hang on a minute, the pitch of those people doesn't sound right. And then compared it against an original version of Wizard of Oz and could hear that there was an audible difference in the, you know, the pitch of their voices. So he wasn't just imagining it. And then compared the two side by side and noticed that it was running ever so slightly faster than the original movie. And now people have gone on to look at things, and an example of it was, you could look this up online as well, is comparison of two clips of Seinfeld running side by side. And you could see that one of them's running faster than the other one, and they've probably even cut little bits out here and there as well. Like, for example, I think there was a bit in the clip where the guy's using some sort of power tool to cut some meat or something like that. And instead of having 4 seconds of him doing that, he's doing it for 2 seconds. And apparently all these kind of little cuts constantly throughout the show, and getting rid of some of the stuff at the start and getting rid of some of the stuff at the end as well, is allowing them to squeeze in another 2 minutes or so of adverts. And it's also helped by the fact that the average time of adverts now has dropped down to 15 seconds. So there you go. I just thought it was really interesting, and an example of how, you know, what you're watching could be getting messed with.
Probably is. I mean,
it's been going on for a long time. Not necessarily the speeding up, but I know go all the way back to the Muppet Show in the late 70s, and the Muppet Show that you guys got and the Muppet Show that we got were different because there was more advertising in the U.S. And so they had to do something with that extra 2 minutes 30 or whatever it was. And so every episode of The Muppet Show has the show, and then one of the pieces is the UK sketch. Right. And the UK sketch is usually Rolf singing a song or something like that. Actually, some of my favorites are the UK sketches, but it's you know, Rolf singing a song or one of the others with like a short little musical number. And it's something that the UK got in the 70s that we never got to see because we were watching commercials during the rest of that time. So that's one way that that's been going on for a lot of years. But I know, I think it was, I think Starz, STARZ here is a pay channel. And, they had a stake in one of the series of Torchwood that ran, and so they were able to play it here. And I don't remember if it was that or if it was that they were playing Doctor Who at the time, and they were speeding it up. And that was like 4 years ago or something that it started being noticed here because people were sort of wondering why everybody sounded kind of funny. And it's because there's a certain amount of vibration in most people's voices, and when you compress it like that, it gets sort of funny, which is like, what am I trying to think of? Stitcher and other sorts of podcatchers that let you play stuff at you know, 1.25 time, 1.5 time,
exactly,
you know, yeah, faster. When you listen to it, it will sound not quite right. And the best way I can describe it is not going to help the young people. It sounds like when you put brand new batteries in a Walkman and everything plays a little faster for a while. And then it settles into normal speed, and then you can tell you need...
That's an old school example, Kelly.
Which is the best I can do, though, is like a tape and batteries. When you put in brand new batteries, everything's a little higher, and then when you need new batteries, everything's a little slower. And, you know, that's one of the things that people were really interested in, I think it's Overcast, for, was because of the smart adjustment of the speed that makes it so that not everybody sounds like chipmunks.
The weird thing is when you... I bet a lot of us have done this. Have you ever hit that without realizing it and maybe listened for 5 or 10 minutes and just thought, what the hell is going on?
Oh, you know, it's like,
this is getting on my nerves. What the hell is going on? And the number of times I've looked Overcast, down and
so that's
like,
happened.
Oh, that's why, because it's on 1.5 times or whatever it is.
Do you think I sound bad at normal speed? At 1.5, I sound absolutely freaking terrible.
Well, with the intelligent stuff, it tends to make it slower when I'm talking, so there is that.
To be fair, Righty, that is a wine based measurement. Again, it does change.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Now, I mean,
it reminds me. As like, I'm sure when I was younger, I can remember. Like over here, we have channels like ITV and Channel 4 and stuff, which are supported by adverts. And often when you were watching movies, if you knew the movie well, you would think, hang on a minute, I'm sure there's another bit of a scene there just after that. But they would cut out anything that I think they thought artistically didn't add anything or to the film or didn't really particularly change the film. God, I hate that. It's like, who the hell are you to decide what to do with that, you know, that artist's work? I think that's horrendous. Just so you can stick your bloody advert in it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, I think
that's why you have to watch sort of carefully and see when you look, you'll see if things have been edited for content and to fit the time allotted. And if you look, sometimes
now they give us a warning. They play it ahead of time. And then between every 3 or 4 commercials, they say this has been modified from its original thing in order to fit broadcast standards.
Yeah, we don't get that.
Yeah, we do. Because I think people caught on what he said and started complaining. And so it's not just, you know, taking a Samuel L. Jackson and switching it to Melon Farmer in the mother in the Melon Farmer place. You know,
I don't want
no melon farming snakes on my melon farming plane. Y'all need to get the frogs out of here. I mean, snakes. Like, no, it's not those. Yeah. And they're egregious, which makes it so bad. Is they're so bad. You know exactly what he said.
Okay.
But it's hilarious.
If you ever want a good time,
watch
The Big Lebowski on cable television. If you ever want to watch something that is an added layer of hilarious, that's the movie to use. Do you see what happens, Larry? Do you see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Wasn't the best one in the UK when we used to watch Die Hard when we were young. It was Yippee-ki-yay, Kimasabi, wasn't it?
Now that at least sort of makes sense. So yeah, when you're watching John Goodman take a golf club to a Ferrari and he says, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, it makes no sense.
The thing that I think is different, though, in the UK that makes a lot of sense to me is we've kind of got the benefit of seeing American-style ads as opposed to UK-style ads. So Channel 3 and Channel 4, ITV and Channel 4 and Channel 5, their advertisements for 3 and 4 are you will get a program will start. Halfway through that half-hour program, you'll get a block of adverts. And then at the end of that show, you'll get a block of adverts that will fill the half hour. And if you've got an hour, you'll end up with some at the 15 minutes, some at the 30 minutes, some at the 45 minute, and then at the end. Whereas if you look at Sky show American style adverts, which is to show you a tiny bit of the program, then give you adverts. So they'll do the previously on, and then they'll show you adverts. Then they give you more at 15 minutes past or 10 minutes past, then they'll give you more at 20 past, and then at the end the program will finish and run into the next program.
Yep. But you get commercials, and then you get the last 90 seconds of the show, and then the next show starts immediately right together, so you won't change the channel.
Yeah. And then it goes on to the next one, and that's what I find bothersome is not the amount of adverts that ITV or Channel 4 are showing me. It's the way in which they block the programs out and disrupt the programs. And one of the points that's being made here in the chat room is whoever it was said that they started to watch a film, and I can't remember what it was, but they said they started to watch the film, and although they loved the film, they had to give up because there was adverts every 20 minutes through it.
Yeah.
And one of the beauties that Sky does do well on the movie channels, because it's a premium channel and you pay for the movies, is that they will only show you ads at the end of the movie. So you get to watch the whole movie uninterrupted, then there's ads. And you only get that on sport on mainstream channels.
So you know what's funny is now we have that on USA. They go, we're going to show you this film and it's going to be uninterrupted. But what they do is they put the soccer banner, you know, so there's a little banner that pops in. It's not as bothersome as you would think, you know, and normally this is late at night. But the payoff for that is when you get to the end or the interstitial between that movie and the next movie, because they'll be rocking like a Robert Downey Jr. marathon, right? So you're going to see Less Than Zero, and then you're going to watch five freaking minutes worth of commercials, and then they're going to cut to Iron Man 1. Or something of that nature.
But that's awesome, because then you can go get a snack and you're not going to miss anything.
But what they do is
they show 5 minutes of the Foreman grill or some shit you wrap around your thighs to make your thighs shrink or, you know, extends, where these cheesy guys with porn stashes come in like, I got to pop four of these and I can pound all night. You know, and it's like those commercials are irritating. And it was worse when it was finally fast.com and all of the, you know, I'm going to take spyware off of your brand new Lenovo, and they would just run for like 3-4 minutes long. So if you had nothing to get because you had all your kit, or you were like stone stuck to the couch, you had to watch that crap. You know,
well, I'll go back to Newman, might back me up on this one. You remember an F1 was on ITV?
Oh god, yeah, absolutely.
Was that the biggest pile of ass in the world?
Yeah, we hated that.
I'm not joking here. There'd literally be two cars heading into the corner, and you're about to see about, you know, a 10 Ben escapade slowly evolve, and they'd let you have one or two of the turns, and then say, we'll be back right after this.
And you'd sit there for 5 minutes, and what I always used to say is, for every person who advertised in that 5 minutes, I will never buy your product, because you're ruining the experience of this thing that I want to watch. Because I think there was a thing where ITV had to replay like the end of a race, didn't they? Because they absolutely destroyed the entire atmosphere, didn't they?
One of the things in advertising that I think maybe they do it on Sky, but certainly I've seen it on American shows. I hate when you're watching something and somebody's little smug face comes up at the bottom and says,
"Oh, what is
watch Saturday Night Live in 15 minutes or something," and then the little face goes away again, and then 20 seconds later, watch episode 4 of, you know, Breaking Bad or whatever, and then that goes away. It's like, for God's sakes, I'm watching a program.
Yeah, it's like, how I met your mother. I don't give a toss how you met my mother. I don't care. I want to watch the program.
You know what's funny is, going to what Reddy was saying, I had the little box and it was called ITV or Satenta, but I used to pay like $40 a month for this little box so that I could get Man U TV and, you know, Satenta Sports, right? Because at that time, they had this great claymation show about the special one, and it was just the most epic comedy thing ever about the whole what is football in the UK. And so I used to also watch F1 on that, and I used to watch rugby. And this little box, you'd plug the Ethernet in the back, and you connect it to your TV. And so you just make a connection, and it would stream everything here. And I used to just trip out over the commercials, because right in the middle, like you said, I'd be watching F1, and dudes like barreling down. There's only like a couple laps, and they'd go to a commercial. I'm like, how the hell do you go to commercial in the middle of a freaking race?
I mean, you won't get it, Doc, but the Sky F1 coverage is second to none. And everyone goes on about, oh, no one could do it better than BBC. It knocks the BBC into a cocked hat. Their coverage was crap. There's 36 hours in a weekend of coverage on Sky F1. Oh, it's awesome, mate. It is awesome. And the people on it are excellent. They've got a really good team. Kravitz is excellent in the pit lane. His pit lane diaries, love them. Absolutely love them.
Really, do you do the really whole good. Weekend, do you?
I'll sit down and I'll record the whole weekend, and I'll sit and play through it and watch it all. And I'll also got a thing, so if I... no, I can't say that because that's not... I shouldn't do that. But I can watch it in the office here, so...
So here's the thing about this story, just to kind of bring it to a bit of an end. Do we think that this is a further nail in the coffin for cable TV? Is it going to push more and more people towards cord cutting, do you think?
If you can start getting sports live, that's the only thing that stops me, honestly, is just sports. Other than that, I could really give a rat's tail, because I do everything, you know, through streams and whatnot.
There's places you can get that stuff.
I just found what Ewan was talking about. I just literally found F1 streams, and it tried to load, which is why it might have been making noise in the background. But yep, I just found it. Thank you for that.
Apparently, I just called Ted Kravitz Lenny Kravitz. That's not what I meant. I meant Ted Kravitz.
Are you going to go my way?
Then I would watch F1. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, Doc, the day is going to come, isn't it, when sports is going to get unbundled. I think they'll come a point where they realise that they're on a sinking ship, and they're going to want to protect their income and what have you, and they'll just go it alone and offer it on its own. I think it's going to happen.
You know who right now offers the most rubbish coverage? Because the commentators, I want to slap the crap out of them whenever I'm watching footy, and that's the guys on BT. It's like they get the worst guys that, you know, used to play, or some guys that never played at all that are always talking about what you should have caught, or goalie should have stopped that, or whatever. And I'm like, dude, I want to beat the crap out of them. But that is always good. Sky is, like you had said, even for footy, they're the best whenever you can watch a game on Sky. But I don't know who runs that BT thing, because they're horrible. I want to beat
them. Hey, don't you speak bad of Jake Humphrey. He's from Norwich. I will not have that on this show. So, Jesus!
There you go.
You know him, Paul, don't you?
So
they he lives the field across from you.
That probably explains everything, bro.
Well, it does. I mean, what he's just said is that's Norwich's alpha male. Says it all. Has he got a sister? No, I didn't say that.
Jake Humphrey, Delia Smith, and Stephen Fry—they're coming for you, and they're going to destroy you all.
Oh, it's all good. Jesus Christ.
Prepare for the end of days.
So
they do good coverage of MotoGP. I'll give them that. Like, if I want to watch some bike racing, they cover that. But yeah, that's about
back
it.
Back up.
The you know those little info bar things that cross the bottom? There's one on that the kids watch, and I had a bit of a mock rant in front of Sharon and the kids with. There's one that Victoria Justice comes on, and she stands there and she holds her hands out like she looks at this thing in this hand and this thing in this hand. Which one are you going to choose? And her hands move so fudging much that you're just like, the girl can't even come out and hold a bloody hand still. That's all she's got to do to make this work. But no, they can't even use that footage. But they still use that footage, even though they have to put a subtitle underneath it, which has nothing to do with the fact she's got her sodding hands out, because nothing lands on her bloody hands. And it was... And it's the worst people. Why would you put out a picture of someone doing this and looking at both hands if you don't actually put anything in the sodding hands?
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
You got to see it. Righty, come on, mate. You've been patient. Now's your turn.
Well, I want to talk about the fact that the flip phone's coming back.
I was supposed to talk about that. Thank you.
Are you channeling Greenies going through my head at this point?
But go ahead. With a BlackBerry, is it?
Yeah, have you got a BlackBerry? Yeah. BlackBerry.
Apparently, it started in Japan. But it never left. Everyone's loving their $15 flip phones all of a sudden. And I don't know. And I look at all the story. I don't know who Anna Wintour is. Who's Anna Wintour? Apparently,
yes, she's a high-powered lady in the United States. Yes.
Yes, because I read that all the time. But she was obviously seen at the US Open last year with her £15 smartphone. But apparently in Japan, it's risen by 5.7%. They sold 10.58 million of these flip phones in the last year. And it got me thinking, because I'm an iPhone 6 user and I pay a jolly good dollar for my iPhone 6. But in the last month or so, a lot of people know, I also carry a Windows phone, which costs a third of the price. And it does pretty much everything that my phone three times the price actually does. So are people actually thinking, my phone only needs to do a certain amount of things nowadays? It doesn't need to be all the bells and whistles and all the apps and all the games. Because you can do that on your tablet and or your laptop or your PC at work or at home. Is there any need to be spending like 40, 50 quid a month on a smartphone anymore?
Because all right, so what you guys got backwards, and that's why I hated this story when it came out. I went nuts because I lived in Japan for years, right? And my 2006 KDDI AU smartphone was just about everything that was the first three or four iPhones as a flip phone was basically, what is that, 1, 2, 3 years later.
Yeah.
Okay? So the shape is the same as your Razr, but they are far above and beyond what's in the Razr. Don't let anyone tell you that they're dumb phones, because they're not. There's built-in GPS to help you find your friends whenever you go somewhere. There's live stream television built into those things since way back in 2005. You can get every radio station, their FM radio is built into all of the phones. They have high megapixel cameras. So in a way, they are very much like what we know as a smartphone, but you're not going to go to an app store and download all kind of new apps. There's kind of mostly it's already in there. There's some apps that are available, but they're much above and beyond what you think is as a simple dumb phone.
Yeah, but like kind of on one hand, what apps do you use on a day-to-day basis? They're probably on these phones, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I think you guys are barking up entirely the wrong tree. I don't think anyone gives a shit about how smart the phone is. The reason that people like flip phones is because they think they're frigging Captain Kirk, and there's no other reason for it. And Americans, if there was an iPhone that had a flip to it, it would sell like frigging hotcakes.
Really?
This is 100% true.
It's got a hinge on it.
It's got nothing to do.
I did have a hack on my Motorola Razr that every time I opened it, it made the tricorder noise.
Thank you.
So did I. Oh, yeah. So did I. Every Trekkie in the world had it. That was the
best. I did tell the Vitus
and
today.
And then I installed the Star Trek communicator app on my iPhone when that became a thing. I think part of this is just kids, too. Like, I'm willing to bet that a $15 flip phone, £15 flip phone, see, I always still think of it as a unit of weight, and so it's really hilarious to me to listen to you guys talk about a £15 smartphone. How big is that? So I think part of it is probably anybody replacing a phone that got dropped in the toilet, driven over, put in the blender, jammed in the DVD player, given to a child who promptly pitched it down the stairs and the stairs are all cement, whatever. When you need to go replace that, the sticker shock of paying full price for a phone that maybe you picked up on a subsidy for $99 or $200, I think that becomes a big problem. And at that point, a $15 phone looks really attractive.
Well, yeah, it's not just that. I got my iPhone 6 a month before I got my Windows phone. And my Windows phone does everything my iPhone 6 does. And I hold them both in my hands and think and look at the iPhone 6 going, I really didn't need to buy this. I really didn't need to pay an extra £400 for this phone. And I'm thinking now when my contract's up, I'm never going to pay full dollar for a smartphone ever again.
I bought a while ago just as, because
the missus dropped her iPhone down the loo and I needed something else for her to use whilst we were waiting for the 6 Plus, whatever it is, to come out.
Yeah.
Right. We bought a Motorola E. Bloody awesome. Yeah. £80.
The G
does,
and the X.
Does everything. Does
some
everything.
Of the best Android phones you can buy.
You can't beat the Nokia Lumia 5 series, 535, that kind of stuff. Just beautiful, yeah. and 60 quid.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It does make you think, well, if you can get a smartphone that does everything, why do you need to go back to having a flip phone?
Because you're not Captain Kirk without one. I'm right. I know I'm right. Bronwyn in the chat room says, how about I hinge two iPhone 5Ss together? You would sell hotcakes of those, mate. Absolute hotcakes. They might be a bit pricey, it has to be said, but I think you'd still sell them. Go on, Doc, sorry.
No, I was going to say another thing that a lot of people are not going to understand because we don't really have this position. But, okay, so one thing that they have in Japan that we don't have in the U.S. is there's something that is known as a Gakusei Warabiki. And a Gakusei Warabiki basically means a college discount. If you are a college student, your bill is automatically 50% of what all the other bills are. But what they do is... for the rich kids, they give you regular phones, and then for everybody else, you can get the Gakusei Warabiki. So you walk into one of these stores, the phone costs a penny, and then you basically pay like 15 to 20 bucks a month for all of what you need, including TV, radio, and the whole nine yards. So what a lot of kids do is they buy that phone, and that's the one that the parents know about, and then they buy the iPhone that the parents don't know about, right? And I won't explain to you how to get their money. That's a whole different story. But they basically have two phones. Also, a lot of times you have over there company issued phone, which would be your basic KDDI, AU, or standard flip phone like that. And then again, people own their own private iPhones and whatnot. So the people that are using the iPhones, they're using them kind of like we do as cord cutters. And the smartphones is for the everyday talking. The data plans are different. They use the iPhones as basically Wi-Fi only. But when they come to a different country, they will SIM it up and use it proper. Like most of my Japanese friends hold two phones. That's honest with you. And I see tons of them every weekend. And they're going back and forth because I know all of the girls that work in the airline industry or work in travel industry. And they all are rocking two phones. So the story is really they never left in Japan. And we're just lame to just finance it now and turn it into a Wall Street Journal story.
Pat Roon's pointing out some good things here. Bookery is saying that Richard can't use a Captain Kirk phone because he's wearing a red shirt, which means when we get down to the planet, he's a dead man.
He'll be dead.
Yeah.
Bronwyn, you are correct. For the answer to Bronwyn, yes, exactly correct. And I'm surprised you know that. I love you even more.
Don't tell Bronwyn you love her, mate. The tweets will be unbearable. I've had an email while we were having that little section there. And it's from Rick Cobb. He's the OK Google guy. He's just sent me an email.
OK Google.
Dear Ewan, thank God I decided to watch the show online and live today. My phone would never have survived. Rick, you are the man, sir. You are the man. Spot on. Whose turn is it? Kelly.
Yes.
It should be ladies first. You look at the three of you. Shame on the three of you.
Bad man.
Shame. Right, girly center stage. Off you go.
Okay, so I'm going to take a second here because it's very sad to me and I'm going to share this with you guys, and it would make more sense if Kyle was here because Kyle's probably the only other person who could be on the show who would know what on earth I'm talking about. And that is Portland Trailblazer, which is why I'm wearing the shirt today. Portland Trailblazer Jerome Kersey passed away suddenly yesterday. He was only 52 and he was a wonderful trailblazer, and he was one of the greats here in Portland. And that was very sad. And it's a lot of news. And the reason it's a lot of news to me is because a whole lot of ball players from other teams were on like Twitter and Facebook and things talking about how he went out of his way to be kind to them, because once he stopped playing for Portland, he came back and he's like an ambassador, and he does a lot of the charity appearances and things that that a lot of people, you know, that you hear, like, they go to the children's hospital and they go to this thing. And, you know, whenever you hear the Blazers are making an appearance, Jerome Kersey was always one of them. And every single picture that they've been showing since last night when the news broke and all of the pictures they've been showing today, there's not one picture of that man without a smile on his face. And he was a wonderful guy and he contributed hugely to Portland. And so I have to give him the shout out for that.
What happened?
No one knows yet. They haven't said.
Oh, right. Okay.
So all we know is that he's no longer with us, and he was only 52. So I'm not sure what happened, but he was a wonderful ball player and so kind. And one time my brother got an opportunity to go to a ball game with my dad, and he like shook my brother's hand and was nice to him. And it was one of those things where like, everybody totally remembers that, you know, even when there's like no reason for these guys to stand and shake every little kid's hand, you know, when the shoot around or whatever, all that stuff, you know, he always was doing that. So he was a really awesome ball player. And he was a really classy guy. So.
That stuff is mega important. I went to an England cricket game a couple of years ago with Ellis, and the England cricket team were, I mean, there was a couple of guys came over. Bresnan was great and Owen Morgan was great. He came over and signed Ellis's little cricket bat. But the Stuart Broad wouldn't even look at the crowd when he came over towards it, let alone sign bats. And they shepherded the England team through barriered fences out into a coach and straight off. They didn't stop and sign any autographs or anything with any of the kids. Mm-hmm. And guys, that's a short-sighted, because you listen to what Kelly's talking about with this guy. That is the way to ensure that you get fans for life.
Yeah.
It's just a handshake and a smile.
He's wonderful, and he never... It would never occur to him not to be that guy. And that's the thing that's really great, particularly today. You hear a lot of unflattering stories about pro athletes, about people who, you know, act really spoiled, act really entitled, do a lot of, do a lot of stuff that is sort of a jerk move, you know, and particularly when there's even more coverage of that kind of thing. So a lot of people in Portland have been flooding like Twitter and Facebook with memories of Jerome Kersey, and they're all things like I sent birthday party invitations for my 12th birthday to all the Blazers, and two of them sent me back signed pictures and said they couldn't make it, but here's a signed photo, you know, and Jerome Kersey was one. You know, I was on a plane with him one time, and you could not have met a nicer fellow. You know, he was so kind to everybody that came by his seat and wanted to talk to him. And he smiled and had time for every one of those people. And like, you hear stories like this on and on and on. And like, so it totally made sense that he would become an ambassador for the game, for the team. And he did a show that was sort of after Blazer games, that was Talking Ball. And he would be on that show all the time. And he was, you know, such a great presence on that show, talking about when he played and what it was like and how the game is different now and what these guys are doing. And it's really amazing. And so I'm very sad to miss him. And because, like I said, he was really a wonderful, wonderful guy. And it's sort of nice that everybody has really good memories of him, I think. So I just wanted to get that out there and take that moment, because it's not like we have a sports show on BTN. So I have to jam it in someplace.
No, that's fine.
So now I want to talk about my actual big story for the big show this week, which is software that Lenovo was installing on a stack of laptops. And Doc made sort of an oblique mention of this earlier. And it's Lenovo was installing software called Superfish. It's adware. Yes. And it was called Superfish, and it's installed on these Lenovo laptops right out of the box. So here's what happens, is that what this is supposed to do, Superfish, what Superfish is supposed to do is make it so that ads that Lenovo somehow decides you need to see are ads that you see. And it's Lenovo who decides this. There's a root certificate. I'm not going to get super inside baseball in this, please. I'm not going to dig in. Stay awake. I promise this won't take long. There's a root certificate that's installed on the computer by default. And it is a trusted root certificate that's supposed to go out to a server that Lenovo runs and get this ad information. So when you do a web search for a router or something, then you get some different shopping results that are the ones that Lenovo wants you to see. Lenovo was super anxious to squeeze more money out of people, is kind of how it sounds. And so as an added bonus, what this Superfish software will also do is it will allow anyone to sort of fake that connection by using that trusted root certificate that's on the machine itself. It's a self-signed certificate. And what that means is that you are now basically wide open and there's nothing you can do about it. Not easily, you know, out of the box. Your computer is wide open for what's called a man-in-the-middle attack. And that means somebody can build a site that looks like it's Bank of America's website. And when you go there, you're not actually on Bank of America's website, even though it looks that way. And your computer browser, your web browser will never report a problem because your computer says, I see that connection and I think it's okay. So now somebody can set up that banking website and now you go feed it your bank information and you haven't given it to Bank of America. You've given it to somebody who built a site that looks like that, that is trying to scoop your bank information so that they can go take a nice vacation on your dime.
Okay. I'm just trying to catch up with this and read it.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Let me just say it's bad. And here's the reason that I think it's bad. So it was NextWeb was initially where I saw this story in the first place. So that's what I talked about. Here's the thing that is interesting to me about this is that they gave a statement about what it was that happened. So first of all, Firefox, if you're a Firefox user, you are sort of inoculated from this because Firefox maintains its own set of certificates. It doesn't use what Windows has set up. But Lenovo says they turned off the server, so all of the server transactions, they turned off the servers in January, so none of that stuff is supposed to be active. It was only enabled on machines that were shipped from between September and December. They didn't specify or anything. But it was only those. And once it was discovered, basically they knocked it off. But what they're not addressing is the root certificate is still installed on your computer. Yes. Even though the advertising, even though the advertising is turned off, this certificate is still there and you still have this problem.
Yeah. You can now, I'll put it in the chat room. You can now find out if you're being intercepted. I'll put it in the chat room now. You can find it if you are being intercepted by Superfish now. Have, like you say, have confirmed that it's been disabled.
It's philippo.io.
You can find out
Badfish.
If your machine is being affected.
Yeah, philippo.io, philippo.io/badfish if you want to check it out.
With a capital B. And the thing that's really great about it is... The thing that's great about this site is that it's very upfront about, is this what happened? Here's what you can do. And the thing that is important about this is not, it's bad Lenovo did it. It's not that Lenovo was really interested in advertising to their people. At this point, again, it's just awareness. If you have a Lenovo notebook and you know that it is recent, you really need to go look at this. Because it was fresh out of the box. And then it sort of becomes self-perpetuating because if you nuke it and you install Windows, if you're installing the version that Lenovo wrapped everything into, even if you flatline your machine and install everything again, you still may end up having this same certificate in the certificate store. So it can be an issue, and I just want to make sure that basically I'm trying to make sure that everybody knows about it. If you bought a Lenovo laptop recently, you know, because you're psyched about Windows 10 and you want to make sure that you are able to run it, so you went out and bought a new computer, be aware that this is a thing that could be happening to you.
Check out your batch number as well, because the chances are that the computer you buy today may have been manufactured prior to January, and this is
during that time. I mentioned in the comments that what's really crazy about this is a lot of companies in the United States will do their fiscal purchasing before the 31st of October, before the 31st of December, and before the 30th of June. And the reason for that is, depending on how you do your cash accruals, whether it's quarterly, biannually, or annually, those are the three fiscal cutoffs for the United States for most accounting. So, for instance, the United States Army, ours was always Halloween. We're always rushing to get everything in Halloween. Mm-hmm. But a lot of state-run organizations, say like the state of Hawaii, the state library system, the colleges, the POCO, the fire, you know, gods, whatever, theirs ends on the 31st of December. And then a lot of
calendar
people
year.
Who just people who run smaller business have a tendency to do June, December, June, December, June, December. And then so if you were the type of person who saves your fiscal purchases until the last minute, you bought computers in October or December or November, and that's when the batch happened. So you can't tell me if Lenovo was trying to be shady, which they say they weren't, and I'll give them that. If they were trying to be shady, the smartest move is make sure these are installed between September and December, because you're going to hit a whole metric shit ton of people.
And the problem with it is that...
Listen to the quote that they gave. The relationship with Superfish is not financially significant. Our goal was to enhance the experience for users. We recognize that the software did not meet that goal and have acted quickly and decisively.
Well, they also said on Mashable, well, we turned it off in December, and then Kelly read somewhere else where they said they turned it off in January. But either way, it should have never been on, douchebags.
Right. And here's the thing is I'm not mad at Lenovo for trying to monetize. Like, good for you. But the problem is how they went about it, and that's bad. So...
Nobody wants all that malware crap shoved all over their computer. Absolutely nobody.
And that's very true, but Lord love them for trying. Like, I'm not mad that they were trying, that they possibly were maybe trying a different monetization stream. Like, people try stuff and it hits and it misses and there's this and there's that and there's things that happen. The problem is that this one is bad for people. This isn't just, you know, somebody puts three advertisements down the side of the webpage instead of two. Like, it's not that at all. And that's the reason that this one is a bad one, is because how they went about it is the thing that has caused this to be a huge issue.
Well,
the hashtag is that fish cray.
Yeah, let's be fair and objective here. There was terms to install Superfish. It didn't install by itself. You had to accept the terms and conditions on Superfish when it was put in. And any search results it returned did show results by Superfish. They weren't shown as results by Google or anything like that.
Right.
So let's not get sued, eh? I've put a link in the I've put a link in the chat room that's how to remove the Superfish the Google fish. Jesus, that would get me sued. the Superfish software.
Edit.
And it also takes away the certificate that leaves the attack.
Yeah, because their method for removing it leaves the certificate in place. That's the problem.
No, the one I've just listed tells you how to take the certificate out as well as. So there you go.
Yes, but the Lenovo was offering a fix, and the fix that they were offering in their forums was to disable the Superfish software, but it left the certificate installed. This one does not.
No, I'm going to correct you there, Kelly. It offered to disable the Superfish software.
Right, but it left the certificate alone.
Because it was only disabling the software, not removing it. Okay.
Right.
Quick question. Do you guys remember what OS we got where Apple just decided they were no longer installing third-party anything? Because remember, like, SnapX and other stuff used to be there?
Oh, yeah, that's how I got my copy of GIF Converter.
Was it Tiger?
It was G4 PowerBooks. It was later model G4 PowerBooks because I had a G4 PowerBook that came with Omni Outliner.
Nice. Because that was the best move ever on their half, was just, I'm going to stop putting anything. We don't have to support 10-2,
it might have been features. Tiger.
All right, this question. Moving on.
Okay, fair enough. Good discussion. If you bought a Lenovo computer in the last few months, then do beware that you may have to have a look. It's worth a check. And I'll put the link in the show.
Please do, yeah.
I've actually today linked all the stories and all the pics and all the show notes in a thing, and I'll probably delete it at the end of the show without thinking, so.
No!
And it won't be in there. Such a tosser. This podcast and others brought to you by UK2. Yes, we love them to bits. We say it every week, but you know, there's not a lot more to say than the fact that they're really great to us. They're lovely and wonderful and charming and dandy, and they just look after us. I'm supposed to go down and see them on Tuesday, and I've realised that I've said that I'm going to take the mother-in-law back home, so I might have to think about that again. They're great. You can get loads of deals off them. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, click on the links, use the offer codes, you get a great deal, and you will get the best customer service that I've seen online for anything that you've got. You got a ticket, you just raise it, it gets solved. If it's a critical ticket, you'll get a call back in 30 minutes on it. So well worth it. Please check them out, because we couldn't do shows without them, not at all. And we've also got the Wirecast service, which is the stuff that helps us do the live shows, helps us record them and keep it, and does all the transitions and that kind of thing. Really good piece of software. They've given us two copies of this, and it's $2,000 for the two copies that they've given us, and we just got it free of charge. Thank you very much. Don't forget, though, they do a fantastic screen capture software, which is only $50 and is available on a big Mac deal at the moment, which is the ScreenFlow. ScreenFlow is awesome. Yeah. It's a very, very good screen capture service. Allows you a lot of flexibility in output afterwards for cropping or for resolution. So well worth looking at. And it does audio capture with it as well. So you can make your own screencasts if you want to get a YouTube video going. Please check out Telestream. Use the link from our website so they know that we sent you. Very kind. And the Bash is coming up. On Friday the 3rd of July, we'll be having a curry over at the Kismet and a nice evening. We had a great evening last year doing it. Saturday the 4th, we're going to have the Bash all day from 11 o'clock, and we will just keep going till we're finished. And we'll probably end up back at the curry house, as we do every year afterwards. And then on the 5th, we've got a little thing going on at my house. We're going to do a kind of What I Know Day. It's not going to be a conference as a such or anything like that, but we've got a select half dozen people who are going to deliver a session on something. So Wrighty's doing a session. I'm doing a session. We've asked Alan Housel if he wants to do a session. And Wheaters is doing a session. Greeny is going to do a session. And don't laugh, because it will be good, I promise you, because we've talked about it this afternoon. It'll be a great session. And it's really kind of test run. So I've only got room for 30 people here. I can't get that many more in. So if you want to come to that, there's no tickets to buy or anything like that. There won't be any charges for it this year. But we're just going to trial it and see if people like it. And if people like it, we're going to do it as an add-on day to the Bash next year. So the Bash will be Friday curry, Saturday Bash, Sunday conference, in inverted commas. Fun day, but with it'll be a bit more techie and a bit more oriented to learning something. And every speaker, you will walk out of every speaker going, you know what, I learned something there, I promise you. And that includes this year as well. If you want to come to the Just the Bash, don't worry, it's £20. That is your contribution to the pot, the fund, if you like. It's like a Christmas hamper thing. We're not making a profit on it. Everyone is going to pay in something just to make sure that all the costs are covered. The hall costs us £500 for the day. It's £400 this year, and then there's a £100 deposit to carry over for next year. The food costs us money. That money will also be covered for all the booze, that kind of stuff. And all the under-16s come free of charge, so that pays for all of the under-16s food and soft drinks and that kind of stuff. Batwin's saying, is it just going to be tech talks? Yes, it's just going to be talks around technology. It won't be necessarily... I mean, you know, if someone wants to talk about a new cooker that does specific types of cooking, like a microwavey type something or other that we haven't heard of before, that'll be fine. That's tech. If someone wants to talk about a knitting machine that's brand new or does that, that's still tech. I've got no problem with that. But it's got to be some kind of technology edged to it. So, and we've still got a couple of speakers slots to fill. So if anyone's out there that knows that they want to talk or cover something, then yeah, go for it. But tickets are on sale now. The sooner you buy the tickets, the sooner we can afford to pay off the what's it, the hall and that kind of thing. Hotel over the road is still £58 for two nights for two people, and you can pile as many people in the room as you want. So, you know, there's like fold out your beds and stuff like that. You probably get four in a room quite comfortably. It's not the best hotel in the world, but you know, as I said today on the Mac Show, as long as you're the only animal in the bed, that's all that matters.
That's not bad.
For two nights. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Doc, do you have a cool
thing? Because we talked about it pre-show, and I just think this is a really cool piece of kit. I almost pulled my whole notebook off the desk. I hope I'm straight now. I am thinking about picking up one of these for myself, and this is the Varidesk Pro Plus. It's not a cheap bugger there. It's about $350. What is that, like 180 pounds to you or something? Mm-hmm. But basically what it does is it allows you to take your desk, and for not much bigger than a standard desk riser, it allows you to squeeze something, stand up, do your work, sit down, do your work, stand up, do your work, stand up. Yeah. So you could turn your desk into a proper Catholic session and take a little bit of heat off of your back. Because like Mr. Rankin, I too have bad back and bad knees. And sitting too much is actually, what I've been hearing is actually bad for my knees. I should be standing on them more to keep the strength up.
What was, what's Kelly done?
I didn't do anything. Somebody's echoing like Siri or whatever.
All right, okay.
No, because I said something and she thought I was talking to her. And they didn't even say, okay, Google.
Okay.
How about you mind your business? Did you guys get that? Are we okay? Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I can't, my joke isn't going to work now. So there we go. Moving on. It was about bad knees and shagging, standing up, but...
oh, God.
Moving on. Good pick, mate. $400 for the most expensive one, the Pro Plus 48, and they go right down to $275 for the single Pro Plus, or the single variant.
You've got to get two monitors, man. This, you know, one monitor's out.
No, I guess I might have a look at the old $400 one, because that's got a bit of real estate on it. I don't know, it looks very big though.
The Pro Plus, someone just looked it up. Muller Biker looked it up, and the Varidesk Pro Plus is £350.
In the UK.
Yeah, that's why I said quid, not dollars.
Yeah, the Pro Plus is $350 on here, and the Pro Plus 48 is $400. So. It ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah, but if you're trying to outfit, you know, a good chair and a good desk and, you know, stand a little, sit a little, change it up, then you end up in a, it's definitely worth, at the barest of minimums, it's definitely worth getting a bunch of tall books and setting your monitor up a little higher so that you can stand up and sit down when you want to. Mm-hmm. And the Varidesk is a really nice way to do that.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, but...
I'd love to go and have a play first, that's all.
I wonder why Miller Desk is getting different price to me, because I changed mine to British, and I got £295.
I haven't got a UK... Oh, select country, here we go. Select country, United Kingdom. And we're back. And the... Oh, there is no 48 on this, and but it's £350 for the Play Press. Yeah, they've stiffed us yet again.
Well, you guys aren't as fat as we are, so you don't need a 48.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Right, Doc, what have you got for us? As in the proper doctor.
The one with an
MD.
So the one I've picked for today was something I've ordered for myself, and it's kind of technology related, because it's from the guy who does one of my favorite YouTube channels, Cinema Sins, and he has wrote a book. So I've pre-ordered this book. I'll put the link in the chat. And the reason I find it interesting is the premise of the book is a bit different. It's about teenagers with superpowers, nothing new there. But the twist is that they're disabled teenagers with superpowers. So one of the examples that he gives is the kid who has telekinetic powers is actually also blind. So it's about how these kids come together and how they learn to use their powers together to work as a team. And I think it sounds like a really cool idea for a story. I absolutely love the stuff that CinemaSins does, and I wanted to support him in his endeavours. So
excellent.
I pre-ordered. You can pre-order it. If you pre-order it, you get, I think you get some exclusive CinemaSins videos that they're not going to put on YouTube. So that's probably worth the money anyway. What was the else I was going to say about it? Oh, and amazingly, I think he was absolutely astonished to find yesterday that his book would have reached number 5 in the American book chart on Amazon. So
no mean feat.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty awesome. It's got to be said. So yeah. I think he was number 15 in the UK. So like I say, just a really interesting story. And if you're interested, go support another, you know, person who's been creative online.
Excellent. I like the look of that.
Fantastic.
It's been an expensive day so far. Kel, what have you got for us, Kel?
Okay, since I brought everything down in the middle of the show, I'm going to bring balance to the force, and my cool thing today is not cool at all, but I'm going to share it with you anyway, and it's a joke. Are you ready?
Go on.
How do you find Will Smith in the snow?
Get jiggy with it.
You.
Go on.
Wait.
Ask me how.
How do you find Will Smith in the snow?
You look for the fresh prints.
Okay. Jeez.
That's the whole thing.
Is that joke older than you?
No, not by much, though.
Okay. Have you got a cool thing? Is that really it?
Well, that actually really was it, because I just thought it only seemed fair to be like to be cool.
You've not said anything to review this week, so.
Okay, so no, I'm going to pick If This Then That, because they've added a new action called Do, D-O. So you can be more specific with rules. You can activate your camera and take a picture and certain things will happen. Or you can automatically create a note in Evernote that's for a certain thing. And they're trying to just sort of amp up the automation that's available to you. And that's really awesome. So I'll pick IFT.
Okay. If it is, then I was thinking about them this morning, actually, and now I ought to get into doing a bit more with them.
Yes, you should, because it's super easy, and it's really nice to have the opportunity, you know, sometimes to just kick those off, so.
Excellent. Yeah. And last but by no means least, it's Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. Well, interestingly enough, I didn't think I'd recommend this, but obviously I've been off the half term with my 11-year-old daughter, and we've been playing SimCity Build It on iOS. So you probably can't see it on there, but I've built a little city on there, and it's all looking great. The trouble with it is in an EA game, and the problem with EA games, you can't just buy them outright and play them normally. It's always a kind of like, get so far, and then they want some money for you to get further. But, because we've been playing it so much, and we have really put some serious hours into it, we've learned a way to kind of not hack the game, but we find a way to play it more efficiently without giving them any money. And I won't give it away on this show, but if you're interested on how to do it, you do need two people in the same house to do it, but there is an interesting way to play the game as if you're paying money to progress without giving them any money. But with that in mind, we've had an absolutely fantastic time with it. And we just sat there for hours and hours building our cities. And it just takes me back, because obviously SimCity is such an old game, and it's so much fun. And not on a touchscreen interface, it just lends itself to just working that well. Absolutely brilliant. But I'm not paying for it. Screw you, EA.
That wasn't really necessary, was it? They're giving you
I think that should be a T-shirt, Paul.
Well, screw you, EA.
For the bash.
Yeah.
So where are you revealing this, then?
You could drop...
do it on the review.
Is this perfectly legal? Would you like a blog post about this?
Do it on the review post. Yeah, do it on the blog post.
Do that. But it's very clever and so simple. But it is a very clever trick. And once we realised what it was, it's a bit repetitive. But Jesus, it's more fun than paying it money, because you're beating the system.
Review the game and then and then show us the hack at the end of the review.
We'll do that.
All right. Make sure they read to the bottom. I did that on, what was it? There was a driving game. I can't remember the driving game where you were on an
Real
island.
Real Racing?
No, where you could, it wasn't an iOS game. It was on Xbox, but you were on an island and you had to challenge other racers to Drive Unlimited or something unlimited, Test Drive Unlimited. Yeah. But like you'd challenge someone to a race, they'd speed off. And then you had to drive up to where there was an intersection. You just turned around and came back down the opposite road and went across the finish line, and you won the race every time. Yeah. And you just like 200 times, and you'd have $2 million, then you could buy whatever car you wanted in the game. Yeah.
No, there's a social element a part of this SimCity that basically negates the need to actually pay them any money. So until they fix that loophole, we're going to carry on playing.
Right, the chat room's gone off telling jokes to each other and isn't listening anymore, so no jokes are allowed in future on this program at all, along with Xbox off and OK Google. There we go.
I've got a joke for you.
Oh, no, you haven't. Shut up. We're not doing jokes.
Oh, no, I've got a joke for you. Go on.
Go on.
There was a man, and I was walking down the street, and he threw some milk at me, and then he threw some cheese at me, and then he threw some cream at me, and I looked at him and went, how dare he?
Oh, give over. Holy shit. My cool thing, and it's a lot cooler than that friggin' joke.
Thank you. We're here all week. Tip the veal and try your waitresses.
From Blue Lounge, and it's cable drops. I've got two of these this week, and they come in packs of six. They're only £6 on Amazon. And effectively what you do is you... I've got a bit of a cable management issue, it's fair to be said. So anyone that's been in here, you take this thing out, and on the back there's a sticky pad. You pull off the backing on the sticky pad, and you shove it on your desk, and then you clip your cables in the front so that they don't dangle down and nearly strangle you while you're trying to crawl underneath, and then you yank the laptop off the back so that it hits you on the back of the head as you twist around desperately and wrench your back trying to save it from hitting the floor because your entire livelihood depends on it. Not happened to me, but... Much. There you go. Cable drops. They're £1 each, effectively. So six for six off Amazon. End it whilst there's still time, says Ian Lewis. Thank you, mate. I totally agree. Where can we get a hold of your talk?
Oh, I can't stop laughing right now. Anyway, it's at DOCROCK on the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the everywhere that the internet does internet, and at MacUser.pro.
And soon to be on a brand new show on this very network.
Yeah, on the very network.
Hot news as well. We've got a new show coming up. It's been recorded this morning by a young lady named Sophie, and it's to appeal to our younger viewers, and it's very good. I can just say no more at the moment because we haven't set the channel up, but it will be around in the next week or two. Next to him, thanks. Rich, where are you, sir?
Rich Harkness on Twitter, and I write some stuff on my blog at human-version2.com.
Excellent, mate. Go and have a read. It's well worth it. Kelly, where are you, missus?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me occasionally elsewhere on this network. I ever get to come back to the Mac show, and you can find me on macobserver.com occasionally explaining things like the Superfish software, and on the Daily Observations podcast, as well as The After Show, a show I host with Mike T. Rhodes.
That'll all be dependent on the jokes that you do or don't tell on this network in future. And last but by no means least, Righty Boy.
Oh, you'll find me playing SimCity, mate. But apart from that, I'll be at Paulins on Twitter and always, forever and ever, at BritishTechNetwork.com.
Good man. Love you to bits. We'll be back next week. We're going to return to normal because it's my wife's birthday tomorrow, which is why the Mac Show was brought forward. If you're listening now and you're thinking of coming home early from work tomorrow for the big show, for the Mac Show, it already happened at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You're too late. So coming in next week, Thursday, for big show at 8. And Mac Show will be on Friday at 3. Have a great weekend and enjoy yourself and drink plenty. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, mate.
You're very welcome. Cheers.
Thank you. Make it stop. Make it stop.
Poor Rich.
Make it stop.
The jokes are just hilarious.
No, the best one is the chicken coop. That's one of my favorite horrible jokes, too. Why does a chicken coop have two doors? Because if it had four, it would be a sedan. But I'll vote.
Oh, God. I can tell these to my niece, though. That's the good part about it. I have something to talk to Emma about on the plane for 12 hours on our way to Okinawa.
Two dyslexics walk into a bra.
It was Batwitch's bra, and they were never seen again.
Oh, you get them in one.